If anybody has placed glasses on the offering table, we are not in need of them. They were picked up in the parking lot. Okay, so if you're missing a pair of reading glasses, please see Chucky. He's like, wait a minute. Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. And as you're finding that passage this morning, I want you to keep a couple things in the back of your mind. One is that I must recognize my purpose in the body of Christ. Each of us has a purpose in the body of Christ. I must recognize that and fulfill that purpose. Now, a little bit of background, because I always like for you to know a little bit about what you're reading before we read it. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth in about 55 AD, or about 5 years after the planting of that church. And in 5 years, they had managed to have a whole lot of things come up, some division, some strife, people following different preachers, you know, wanting to argue about them, all sorts of division and disunity in that church. And Paul had received a letter from them, which we do not have access to, but the letter that we know as 1 Corinthians is Paul's answer to them in order to correct them and guide them into the way they need to be as a church. And so we're going to be spending the next probably 3 weeks or so in part of 1 Corinthians, so I want you to know that. And now I trust that you've had adequate time to find it. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. And as is our custom here, if you are able, please rise in reverence to the reading of the Word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in 12. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it, and God has appointed these within the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in other tongues? Do all interpret? But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you this morning for inspiring the pen of the Apostle Paul to write this letter, not only as a corrective to the church in first century Corinth, but as a corrective for us today. We ask that we would take these words to heart and that we would live them out. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So, I had been thinking a lot, you know, and maybe some of y'all have experienced this, as, you know, as we start aging a little bit, maybe some parts of our body don't work as well as they used to. I noticed this. I'm currently not able to walk as far as I used to could, because I have a problem with my right foot that's going to require a surgery. I'm going to have that done later this year. But it bothers me when I go to walk for a long distance. And I was thinking, because I'm going to be off of that foot for 4 to 6 weeks. And that's going to seem like a long time, because the last time I was down for that length of time was the time that I broke my femur. And that was a time. I actually tripped over first base in a softball. I think I've told most of y'all this. I was trying to outrun a 76-year-old first baseman and get to the base. I made it at the cost of my femur. And so I was down for months without, you know, after the surgery, I was an entire month in bed, not really functioning, you know, just living from pain pill to pain pill. Until finally I said, you know, this is enough of this. I have to be awake sometimes. And I had to go back to work and start doing things. And it was hard. And some of you have experienced things like that much more recently. It's hard when one body, when one part of the body is not able to fulfill its normal purpose. It causes stress on other parts of the body. The whole time that I was on crutches, my armpits hurt. Some of you all have experienced that. My other leg got tired. And now, as a result of, you know, several years later, as the result of arthritis in my right leg, the one I broke, now my left leg is not working as well as it once did, because it's had to compensate for a while. Paul gives us this example to apply to the body of Christ, or the church. The church is the body of Christ. We are all members, and if we, as the members of the body of Christ, are not doing our function, then we are putting stress on the entire rest of the body. One of the things that we have to remember, and the church over the last couple centuries has done a terrible job of this. We have led people to believe that, you know, all there is to being in the body of Christ is you show up to church, you come forward, you say a prayer with the pastor, you take a dunk in the tank, then you're saved, sanctified, all good, and then really your obligation from then on is attendance. And we don't even really hold people accountable to that standard anymore. You know, it used to be that someone was considered a regular attender if they attended church 3 or more times a month. Now that definition applies to those who attend church 2 or more times a month, or half of the time. We've lowered the standard a bit. But each of us has a purpose in the body of Christ. each and every one of us was created as a member of the body of Christ with a purpose. If you look at your own body, we have hands, we have feet, we have eyes, we have ears, all of these things. They all serve distinctly different purposes. We also have a variety of internal organs that we now understand a lot better than they would have back in the first century, but they all serve purposes. And we've learned a lot about that through our prayer requests, you know, with the suffering people have gone through. We've learned about how different parts of the body, when they're not working right, affect the whole body. When, for example, Mike got a cancer, it affected his whole body. It nearly killed his whole body. Thankfully, we're seeing a healing. We don't take that lightly. We have things in our bodies that we don't even actually understand what they do, but God put them there for a purpose. He didn't just give us extraneous organs. Some serve a, you know, much more important function than others. You know, you can live without, for instance, your appendix, not so much without your heart. You can live without one kidney because the other one will help. Or without one lung, you won't function as well. But God gave each of us, like He gave each part of our body a purpose, God gave each one of us a purpose. And something I've kind of taught, I actually had an opportunity, not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, to teach the students on Wednesday. And that was fun. If you've not worked with the students, Louise says we survived. It was great. But something I really tried to get across to them was we each have a general purpose and we each have a specific purpose. We can find our general purpose in Scripture. For instance, and I would hope that the students would remember this verse, we have a purpose for caring for creation. When we read in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl upon the earth. That's part of the purpose with which we were created, was to help God rule over creation. We also have the purpose of worshiping God. That's one of our general purposes. We read in Psalm 29:2, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. We owe that to God because only He is worthy of our worship and praise. And as our Creator, He is worth it to us. He created us partially for that purpose. We also have the purpose of being loved by God. Ephesians 1, 5, and 6 tells us He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He lavished on us in the Beloved One. We were created with the purpose to be loved by God. We were created with the purpose to help care for creation. We were created with the purpose of worshiping God. We were also created to be loved by Him. And we have also the purpose of loving God and loving others. We read in Mark 12:29 through 31, Jesus answered, the most important is, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. These are part of the purpose with which each and every person on earth was created. Each and every one of us has that general purpose. That's something that applies to you no matter how old you are, whether you're 5 or 105 or somewhere in between. That purpose applies to us all, that general purpose. So even if we don't know maybe what specifically God wants us to do right now, or what specifically He has called us to, we do know that generally these are the things that are expected of us. And we start by doing that. But then I do venture to say that each of us has a specific purpose. We are placed in this particular place and this particular time, this particular moment in history, not by accident. God did not cause you to be here in this location by accident. He foreordained it. Whether you were born here and have been here your entire life, or whether by a series of weird career choices and military assignments, you landed here from the Midwest. Yeah. God did that. We have a specific purpose at this time and place. We remember, if you remember the book of Esther, we remember Esther's uncle Mordecai saying to her, "Who knows? Perhaps you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." We also know that God gave Paul a specific mission. "For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles to bring salvation to the ends of the earth." Throughout Scripture, God gave specific purposes to those who listened to him, such as Abraham, such as to Moses, Elijah, even John the Baptist. These all had specific purposes for which they were born at the time and the place where they were that God called them to do. In the same way, each and every one of you in here today, and I'm glad to see so many of you in here today, each and every one of you, God has placed specifically in this time, in this place, for a specific purpose for Him. Your job is to pay attention when He reveals that purpose to you. He will do that. He may not speak to you through a burning bush. He may speak to you through revelation of the Holy Spirit. He may speak to you through things that you care deeply about. He may speak to you through things that you are particularly good at. But He will let you know what your specific assignment is. So not only do we have to remember that I have a general purpose and a specific purpose, but I also have to remember, have to keep in mind, have to recognize that my purpose is in no way superior to someone else's purpose. I think most of y'all have figured out, you know, I preach and teach. That's, you know, that's what we would call my specific purpose, I think. And I'd like to think that I do that relatively competently, but if you have a different opinion, please don't share that with me here now. But my purpose in this is to bring glory to God and to call people to Him. And my purpose is a little maybe more public than what the rest of y'all do. But it is in no way superior. Paul's writing of the New Testament was in no way superior to my purpose or your purpose. I'll give you an example. Many more people see my hands than my feet. I will guarantee you that almost 100% of the time that I see you, I will have shoes on. And, well, you're welcome. But this does not make my hands any more important than my feet. My hands are really great for reaching out and grabbing things. You know what they're not so great for? Walking on. Not only would I look absolutely ridiculous, but, well, some of y'all may have figured this out, I have a terrible sense of balance. It would not work. It would be ridiculous. My hands are not more important than my feet because they're more publicly viewed. They're just doing their job. My purpose is no more important than yours because it's viewed publicly. Some of you are gifted and called to teach. That is important in the church. We need you to use that gift. Some of you are gifted in administration. That is also important in the church. Trust me, we don't want to get our taxes and our books wrong. Some of you are gifted in music, and that is important in the church. Some of you are gifted in mechanics, in maintenance, in carpentry, and other skills that, quite frankly, I envy at times. Because I can't do that stuff. They also are important in the church. Some of you are gifted in food preparation and hospitality, and those gifts are important in the church. But no gift or purpose is more important than any other just because it's more public or more known. If your gift were suddenly missing or you were not using that, it would affect the church as a whole in the same way that if I were suddenly missing my right foot, it would affect the working of my whole body. Keep that in mind. Your gift and your call is yours. It's for the purpose of the church. It's not superior to anyone else's, it's just different. Also, someone else's purpose is not superior to mine. I think most of you all know I spent, several years at other churches. I was for several years at a church that highly valued music. The ability to sing, the ability to put on productions. Everything was a show. And for those of us who have absolutely no musical ability, as you all know I don't, that's disheartening. Felt like what I bring is much less important because they valued what the people who could sing brought. What the people who could execute wonderful choreography could do. And by the way, that is also not me. And I'm convinced that God did not give me those gifts for a reason. And that reason is I would be prone to misuse them. I might be prone to get a big head about them if I were gifted that way. But I felt less valued. It's easy to get caught, even in my position standing up here in front of you today as a pastor, it's easy for me to get caught up in the mindset that, maybe I'm less important than big church pastor down the road, or the one who's all over social media. I know that's not true. The world tries to tell me that's true. You got a little church out in the country. I got a little church been standing here for 250 years in the country. So, call it little you want to. By the way, Mark Clifton from the North American Mission Board uses my favorite term in regard to churches of this size. He calls them normative size churches. Because your average church is less than 75 members. We wouldn't know that because all we see, the big TV churches. The churches that have to have parking attendants and reading teams and pastoral teams. And we see those. We're normative size. Today, we're kind of on the high end of normative size, actually. And it's good. My gift is not any less valued in the kingdom because it's applied here than somewhere else. Your gift is not any less valued in the kingdom because it's applied here instead of somewhere else. In fact, it's probably more noticed here. What you do is probably more noticed and more appreciated. It's easy to look what someone else is doing for the kingdom and think, I should be doing that, and to feel inadequate, but we are not. We are where we are called. Just because my foot is not a hand does not mean that it's not doing what God has placed it on me to do. My foot would make a terrible hand. Aside from just being really ugly at the end of my arm, I can only grab a few things with toes. I definitely can't write. And when I make my hand gestures, that would just look really wonky. We are where God has placed us, in this place and this time, with gifts that we are to exercise for Him. Not because they're more important than someone else's gifts, not because they are less important than someone else's gifts, but because our gifts are needed in this place, in this time, in this location, to complement everyone else's gifts to live out the purpose of God's kingdom here on earth. All of the parts of my body work together to perform all the functions I do on a daily basis. And I don't even usually notice what they're doing. I don't. But sometimes I notice. hey, this hand was sore when I went to reach for something. Hey, this leg doesn't want to walk right today. Our purposes are to work together in the body. My right hand can write, although if any of you have seen my writing, you'd rather me type. My right hand can write, but not without my brain telling it to do so. Also, not without the nerves that relay the signals down my arm to my hand and the muscles that control that. My foot can walk, but it requires the brain, the nerves, the hip, the knee, the ankle joints, the femur, the tibia, the fibula, and a whole lot of muscles to make it happen. We are all meant to work together. It's the same way in the body of Christ. We are all given a purpose, and that purpose calls for us to work together within the body to do the work of Christ. Each of us has a purpose for which we were created. We have a general purpose and we have a specific purpose. Each of us is gifted with abilities and placed into this particular church at this particular time to work together to fulfill the Great Commission. Yeah, you knew I'd get to this at some point, right? That the Great Commission was not just an individual mandate. It is a church mandate. We're to share the gospel with others. And of course, we know that the gospel is good news, but before it's good news, it is
bad news.
And what's the bad news? That's right. We are all born a sinner separated from God. That's how we're all born. That's the way it is. That's pretty bad. But you know what's even worse? What's the worst news? That's right. Oh, y'all sound good today. Nothing we can do about it. We cannot be good enough. Never. We can't be good enough to earn our salvation. And you know what? Even if we could be good enough from this day forward, what can we do about the things in our past? We can't. So that's as bad as it gets, right? Then what's the good news? That's right. Jesus Christ did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He came to this earth born of a virgin, lived a life completely without sin, paid the penalty for our sins on the cross, died, was in the grave for 3 days, then was resurrected, proving what he said was true. So that's the good news. What's the best news of all? That's right. It's free for the asking. You don't automatically receive it. You must ask for it. And you can receive it just for asking for it. That is the good news of the gospel. Let's be sure to share that with somebody who needs to hear that this week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for this opportunity you have given us together to hear your word today and to look at how we can apply it to our lives. We ask that you would give us wisdom this week in how we can apply the gifts and the calling that you have placed on our lives to do the work of your kingdom right here and right now. Father, we just ask that if there is anybody here today or watching online later who does not know Christ as their Lord, we would ask that this would be the day that would come to know him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Yeah.